Here's the gospel of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of our Lord, God the Father, when He extends His grace to you and me, when you and I are accepted by God, the Holy God, the Creator of the universe, the Holy Righteous God, when He extends, and He must extend His grace to you and me, then we are born again. We're not talking about our willpower to become good. No. It's not about being good. It's being born again. You are a new creation. And when that grace occurs, then you start to grow in your faith, in your journey, as you follow Jesus Christ. So here's a question to you. Question, listen. Would you say your faith has grown since last year? Would you say your understanding of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the Scripture has increased in the last 2 years? Would you be able to say, when it comes to prayer, I have grown, I have matured. In the past, I used to ask for things from God, but now I find myself in my prayer. I spend more time, all time of adoration, time of glorification, time of praising. It's not just getting things from God, not just asking things from God. It's about putting the spotlight on the Lord. Would you be able to say, in all honesty, that you have been growing? I'm not talking about exponential, fast growth. No, growth takes time, doesn't it? But can you say, yes, I was an infant. I was born again, brand new, got baptized. But by the grace of God, in the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, I've been crawling. I've been growing. Some of you, you've been an adolescent. If you don't know, if you are one, maybe you are one. That's how you know you are an adolescent. Have you slowly but surely walking towards the likeness of Jesus Christ on your walk? Or some of you, you are an adult. You've been on this journey for some time, and your love for the Lord has not decreased. It has not cooled off. You catch yourself, yes, I want to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. That is the expectation. That is the progression of your faith. And that's why, for the last few weeks, we've been asking this question: how can we grow into spiritual maturity as we follow Jesus Christ? And today, the topic is this: we grow in spiritual maturity by serving. When you serve, something supernatural happens. When you serve by the power of the Holy Spirit as a response to the grace of Christ, when you serve, something happens in you. Something transforms you from the inside out. I'm anticipating some questions at the end of my message. So here is the number to which you get to submit your questions. Write this number down for now, but submit your questions after the sermon is finished. Feel free to use the sermon outline that is in front of you and also on the screen. The word of the Lord comes to us from the book of Romans, and you have often heard me say, when you come to the Bible, you got to ask at least three questions. Number one, who wrote it? Number two, to whom was it written? And number three, why was it written in the first place? Who wrote Romans? The answer is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every scripture is breathed by God's living Spirit, and he wrote this letter to the church in Rome. In turn, that this letter was circulated and it was read to all the churches everywhere. So it's as if the Apostle Paul preaching sermons, series of sermons to the church in Rome, which got distributed to the Roman Empire. To whom was it written? The people in the church of Rome, they were mostly Gentiles, Roman citizens, but also there were Jewish followers of Jesus Christ, those who began to follow Jesus, even though they were Jews. So it was a multicultural church. It was a small church. It began as a house church, and it grew and grew, and it was multicultural, multi-ethnic, kind of like you guys. Why was it written? Listen, Romans is a really important book in the Bible. Hear me right. Every book in the Bible is equally inspired by the Holy Spirit. Go like this. Okay? Every book in the Bible is equally inspired by the Holy Spirit. But not every book is equally important. The Romans, this book of Romans is so important. May I dare say, we would not have the doctrines of Christianity if we didn't have the book of Romans. It's that important. And it began like this. So the whole book is about grace of Christ, the righteousness of God, and how we should respond to that. So therefore, let's go to the word of the Lord, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, pause. Whenever you come across the word therefore, you have to know why it's there for. What it's there for. Therefore. So I'm going to pause. Very important. You can't just skip over, oh, therefore I... No. When you hit that word, therefore you got to stop. And what is it there for? Here's the answer. The word therefore always helps you, asks you, forces you to look the rearview mirror. What happened? What has God done from Romans 1 to Romans 11? What has God done in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit? Now come the 12th chapter. Therefore, this is what needs to happen. This is what we ought to do. Got it? Okay. So what is it there for? Again, something happened. And I come back to that. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. So verses 1 through 3 tells you the why. Here's why you have to do something. We get to do something. We want to do something. And here's what and how. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to each, every one of you, do not think yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with faith, God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we pray in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit living in us. Help us to see your grace, what Christ has done. Help us to respond to that grace joyfully, thankfully and sacrificially. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Through your scripture. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. The big idea, the theme and the goal is this. Please write these words in your sermon outline. By the grace of risen Christ, you grow up in spiritual maturity by serving with spiritual gifts. It all starts with grace. The source and the reason and the power with which we do anything is by the grace of risen Christ. Christ has done something remarkable, marvelous, and therefore, by this grace, what do? We grow up in our spiritual maturity. How? By serving with spiritual gifts. When you serve with your spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit, the spiritual maturity is going to happen. And I want to parse this out in three ways, 3 points. Number one, and here's why serving with your spiritual gifts will bring you into spiritual maturity. Number one reason, when you serve, you are offering your body as a living sacrifice. You are offering your own body, your flesh, your hands and your feet, who you are and what you are. You are offering it as a living sacrifice, and that because of that, you grow in maturity. Look at verse 1 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Did you see the word therefore? What is the word therefore? Therefore. What is it there for? Romans 1 through Romans 11. Basically two things. Though Victor Ko and every one of you, though we are unworthy of God's love, though we are evil and sinful, though we turn away from God and we hate God, we hate our neighbors, even though we are unworthy, Christ died for us. It's grace imputed, grace of God given to us, gift of God given to us through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Boom. Number two. So let's call that justification. Can you say justification?
Justification.
And what's the second word? Oh, someone said it. It's sanctification. Because Christ died and justified, made us God's children, we are born again. You see? We are born again. We are infants. We are babes. And we are learning to grow, learning to grow. And that's called sanctification. In sanctification, the Holy Spirit enables you to become more like Christ through scripture, through prayer, through generosity, through community, through giving, through serving. And you are growing. You are no longer an infant crawling. You are walking. You're like an adolescent walking, walking everywhere because you don't have a driver's license yet. You're walking everywhere. And then here is the glorification. You become more like Christ all the way. And when you meet Jesus face to face, you will be fully glorified. So therefore, Romans 1 to 11, therefore, here's how we should respond to this rich grace of Christ. In view of God's mercy, in display, in this panoramic display of what God has done. What has he done? He has given you mercy, grace, compassion, pity, all that blessing. And therefore, what is our response? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. For this is your true and proper act of worship. Hard word to translate. Some Bible translations say, this is, when you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, this is a reasonable response. This is a fitting response. This is a rational response, meaning this is expected, not because we're obligated, because we want to. If you are truly loved by God, if you believe that you have received the grace of Christ, then you will respond. You want to respond. I urge you, Paul says. I beseech you. I entreat you. Take this seriously. And friends, isn't it proper? Look. Because we hear the word grace so often, it gets diluted. Let me give you this example. It's the Mother's Day. Dunia, I send you a text. Happy Mother's Day. You feel good. What is a proper response? You weren't expecting it, were you? No, but because I care about you, I said, Happy Mother's Day. You feel good. What is a proper response? How about, gee, thanks. Yeah? Okay. Jonah, you've gone through college. You've gone to the seminary. You are in debt. Let's suppose. I don't know if he is, but I sure was in debt when I was in the university. Okay? You're in debt. Thousands of dollars. Okay? All of a sudden, somebody from this congregation heard about your predicament, and that somebody sent you a check. Guess how much? $10,000. $10,000. You weren't expecting it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything for that person, right? What is a proper response to that? Oh, gee, thanks? No. What would be a proper response to that grace? I would think at least, oh, Pastor V, who is this person? I must go and display my gratitude, my thanks, at least a long, lengthy letter. Or maybe I will mow their lawn for the rest of my life. I don't know, but hey, look. All I'm saying, gee, thanks, is not a proper response. Are you tracking? Are we tracking? Yes. Suppose, Guambe, you need a new lung from all this smoking. He doesn't smoke. Yeah? But you have mishandled your body. If you don't get this lung transplant, not good. Suppose I, well, how many lungs do I have? Can I give one and keep one? Can I, Dr. Borkin, can I still live, survive with one lung?
Yes.
Not likely, yes?
Yeah.
Let's suppose I could. So, Guambe. Okay, kidney, got it. Better example. I can give one kidney and still live. Although my life will be shortened, by the way. So, Guambe, you need a new kidney. So I give you one of mine. Okay? And because I give you one, I only have one, that means my life is cut short by 10 years. Okay? That does happen, by the way. Okay? My wife will have her husband 10 years less now. Johanna and Joshua will have their daddy 10 years less. But you get to live. What would be a proper response to that grace? Gee, thanks? No. Would it be a long letter of, oh, I'm so thankful, I am so grateful. Long letter will do? That's right. What is the proper response to this grace? More than, thank you, more than a letter. So here, listen. Since Jesus Christ, he gave his life for you. And that's how you are living. That's how you are born again. That's how you become children of God. What is the proper response? You better not say, gee, thanks, Lord. You better not say, oh, here's a letter. You better not. You offer your bodies as a living sacrifice each day, every day. What's a sacrifice? Sacrifice is something the Old Testament people did to offer God, the holy God, the living God, this gift, animal sacrifice. And now, what is the proper response for you and me? That we become the sacrifice. May God be glorified. May God be pleased. May He smell the sweet aroma of this living sacrifice. That is the proper response. So in view of God's mercy, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And how do we do it? We do it by serving. Let's go to point number two. Because when you serve, you become Christ-like, a true servant. When you serve, you become Christ-like. Something's happening to your character. Something's happening to your own nature. This is more than habits or outside motivation. This is far more than your willpower to do anything good. No. When you serve, you become like what? Christ, a true servant. Look at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform. Do not be shaped. Do not be molded by the pattern, by the values, and by the propaganda of this world. What does the world say? What do you hear around you? At work, in the internet, in the movies, the way how the world operates is not grace. The way how the world operates is by merits. You become somebody important. You do something really important. You contribute some value to your company, to your society, to your school, to your friends, and you perform. And therefore, you become great. And you say, okay, I'm somebody important. I've done something important. I'm of worth. I'm of recognition. And therefore, everyone, you serve me. That's how the world operates. And then God is saying in the Holy Spirit, be careful. Be careful. The people of grace, you should not be shaped, molded, conformed by the pattern, the values of this world. But instead, you do the opposite. And what is the opposite? Be transformed. Be changed from the inside by the renewing of your mind. Let the Holy Scripture shape you and reshape you. Let's go to Philippians 2, very important passage. Listen to this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself, what's the word? Nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Look over here. When I first read that passage years ago, this is how I used to think. Christ, the Son of God, the divine person, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who in his nature, God, divine, he emptied himself, he became nothing, And then, therefore, he came all the way down. He became one of us, took on flesh, so that he may die for you and me and rise for you and me. So I used to think he was divine, God, but now became a servant. You follow? That's what I used to think. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. If you study it in Greek, this is what it means. Jesus Christ, who was in nature, very essence of God, divine, fully, he came to serve because he was a servant. The reason he came down was he was, always was, always will be a servant. In his very nature, God is a servant. It's not like he was not servant, but he came down, became a human being, and therefore he was a servant. No, no, no. It's because he was a servant. He came down. You know what that means? God in his core, in his very essence, at the deepest place of his nature, he is a servant. As the Father served the Son, as the Son served the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit served the Father, the triune God serving one another in eternity. And that's why Jesus came down, to serve you. And therefore, when you serve others with the spiritual gifts, when you serve others with your generosity, with your time, talents, when you serve in the name of Jesus Christ, you become like Christ. You become like God. Turn to your neighbor and say this: are you becoming like God? Ask your neighbor, are you becoming like God? And that's because you are serving. Look up here. Next slide. There are no volunteers in the kingdom of Christ, only servants. Hear me loud and clearly. Let no one here say the word volunteer. I hate that word with passion. I'm going to tell you why, Elder You. What's a volunteer in our vernacular? Hey, Victor, welcome to the YMCA, our new member. Would you like to volunteer? No, thanks. What's a volunteer? Volunteer, you volunteer for something when you are able, when you want, when it's all up to you. When you volunteer, the act of generosity starts with you. Does it not? Okay. Servanthood is so different. Why do I serve? Why should you serve? In view of God's great mercy. In view of what Christ has done. Because he served you first, Jesus. Jesus Christ served you first. And therefore, we get to become servants. We want to become. And this is how you know you are growing. This is how you know, hey, there is not a single human being who could grow in spiritual maturity who does not serve. Let no one say the word volunteer in the kingdom of Christ. We are only servants. I have this permission to share with you. I love my house church. House church, we meet every Wednesday. We get together and we do life together in our house church. There are about 12 to 14 of us. We eat together. We open the scripture together. We pray together. We serve together. We do all kinds of things, okay? And there's one member was sharing this testimony a few weeks ago. And he said, looking back, when I saw myself 5 years ago, I wasn't even an infant. 5-6 years ago, I was dead spiritually. The Holy Spirit took hold of me. The Holy Spirit brought me to Jesus, and I was born again. I was born again, new creation, new person. And I began crawling. Okay? And now, he's way over here. He has grown so much. And he was sharing with the house church what contributed, what tools, disciplines, celebrations, environments, people the Holy Spirit used for him to grow spiritually. Okay? He said, Scripture was one of them. Prayer. Oh, this person can pray. Over here, he didn't use to pray, let alone pray publicly. Oh, no. But now, not only does he pray, he has received the gift of intercession. When he prays, not only is God glorified, the hearers are edified. Grow, grow, grow. But one thing he said, the whole thing began, the spiritual maturity began when he started to serve. I said, oh, that's interesting. Why? It wasn't so much the scripture. It wasn't so much the prayer. It wasn't so much the community. When he began to serve in the body of Christ, he said, that's when the switch got turned on. Click. And everything just happened and followed. And I thought about that. And here's my response. Why serving played such an important role in his spiritual maturity. You know why? When he began serving, he began becoming like Christ. So number one, we offer our body as a living sacrifice when we serve. Number two, when we serve, we become like Christ. Let's go to number three. When you serve, you are serving the risen Christ on his mission. You are serving the risen Christ on his mission. It's all about the Lord Jesus. You are putting the spotlight on him. You are glorifying him. And you are saying, Lord Jesus, I am your servant. I am here to follow you, join you on your mission so that others may be led to you, so that others may be born again, so that others may grow in spiritual maturity. Look at verse 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When you are growing in your faith, you look at the body of Christ, meaning the local church, and for us, it's Mosaic House. We look at these people, and you say, I belong in this body. This is the body of Christ. I'm not just an attendee. I'm not just coming to an event. I'm not just receiving things. And no, I belong here. I belong here. You belong here because we belong to Jesus Christ. Back in 2019, right before COVID hit the fan, we made this collage. Can you see this? Can you see this? Can you see that? Here's a picture of this up on the screen. What do you see? What do you see? It's a picture of Jesus. I'm so glad he's not blonde. There are over 2,000 tiny mosaic tiles here, about thumbnail size, okay? Over 2,000. I asked Mosaic House Church back then, back in 2019, hey, would you submit a picture of yourself, a headshot, right? So we put all these pictures. Oh, man, it was such a difficult task. So I took every picture and said, this go here, that goes there. And so at the end, you see the face of Jesus. No, I'm not that gifted. Kim just sent all the pictures in. There's a program called whatever, and boom. I see Laura Boy. I see Dunia. I see Mei Mei, Edith. I see Joshua Lung. I think this was taken right after he began coming to Mosaic Hills Church. I see so many pictures. You are here. You belong with Jesus. Because you belong with Jesus, you belong with his body. And that's the church. And every one of you has received spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you belong together. You're not coming to an event. You are belonging in the body of Christ. You're not volunteering. You are serving Jesus. You're not simply here as a warm body. No, you are making a difference on the mission of Jesus because we belong together. And that's why, though we are many, we form one body. So we need one another because we belong to the body of Christ. Let's go on to verse 6 and 8. Let's get to the spiritual gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Interesting. We have different gifts. Okay, in Greek, that spiritual gifts, special abilities, it's called charisma. Say charisma. Charisma. According to the grace, that word grace is charis. Say charis. It's the same word. Spiritual gifts are an extension and expression of charis, grace of Jesus Christ. Let's continue. And every believer, whether you are an infant, an adolescent, or an adult, every believer, everyone of followers of Jesus Christ, everyone who is born again, has received from the Holy Spirit unique kinds of charisma. So, in the word, the expression, hey, she's got charisma, or hey, he's charismatic, it really means that person is full of it. No, full of grace, Edith. Why is she laughing? So therefore, we ought to do something with the charisma or charismata, because it's an expression of charis, grace. And there are so many different kinds of spiritual gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There are three other Bible passages that talk about spiritual gifts. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and there's 1 Peter 2. Now, the list of the spiritual gifts are not to be exhaustive. There's the gift of helps, gift of evangelism, gift of mercy, gift of teaching, gift of so forth and so on. Okay? Lots and lots and lots and lots. You received spiritual gifts. You received charismata. You receive from the Holy Spirit himself something unique. And together we serve the body of Christ. Together we join Jesus on his mission. I learned something really cool in preparation for this message. Of all these spiritual gifts, this commentary said they can come under one of three headings. Okay? Repeat after me. Prophet, priest, king. Okay? In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through the prophets. So the prophet is someone who speaks the very words of God to the people. Got it? God ministered to the people through the priests. So the priests brought the concerns and the needs of the people to God. Got it? And the kings, God ruled his people through kings. And isn't it interesting? All these spiritual gifts fall under one of those three categories. So, prophets. Now, in the New Testament, the body of Christ has given all the spiritual gifts. No one has received them all, but the body of Christ receives the gifts. And those are the gifts that pertain to prophets, like teaching, evangelism. Christ speaks to his body. The priestly gifts, mercy, compassion, counseling. And that's because Christ ministers to the body. The kingly gifts are like leadership, administration, apostleship, because Christ leads his body. So you have received unique gifts. You know who they are? You know what they are? Are you utilizing those gifts? Some are being developed, some are being utilized, but some are in dormant. I want to invite Hannah to the front. Hannah, please come forward. Everyone say, hello, Hannah. Come right up. I've asked Hannah to share some of her maturity, journey, growth, thank you for sharing, okay? Because I made three promises. So first, Hannah, generally speaking, since you have joined Mosaic House Church, in the last, how long has it been, like three, 4 years? Four?
Five years.
How have you grown in your faith? How have you progressed on this journey of maturity? Share with us.
You gave me the...
Oh. See, I'm really techie.
Is that your spiritual gift?
Obviously not.
You gave me these questions ahead of time, and now my mind is going blank about all of the things that I answered. But I think I've grown most when it comes to community. Here at Mosaic House, it's just a strong sense of community, and that doesn't even begin to describe what it actually feels like. I think oftentimes, Kevin, my husband, and I reflect that if we didn't have Mosaic House, our connections to Edmonton and our community here in Edmonton would be so small. This is where we have found a lot of friends, a lot of community, a lot of people to encourage us, to lead us on our spiritual journeys. This is where we feel very rooted, and I think I've experienced the most growth when it comes to being a part of a community and not just like coming every week and sitting in, but experiencing it and giving back to this community.
Thank you. I think you say you have experienced doing life together. Has that happened both here at the Big House on Sunday morning at the corporate worship, and also in the context of your weekly house church? And if so, what has contributed to your experience of, hey, I belong here?
When we first came to Mosaic House, it was undeniable that we were welcome. Like, we were immediately greeted. I remember it was Cor and Agnes who first greeted us. I don't know where they are. There they are. But we were welcomed by like so many other people, and there was table fellowship. We got to sit down for a meal, and we filled out the Connect card. And then I think it was Hikari and Pastor Une both reached out to us, and it was like we just immediately knew, both like by these tangible outpourings of community and welcome, but also I don't know, this, it's just something you can't really name when you feel at home. It just, it clicks, it's right, you feel it. That sounds kind of wishy-washy, but...
No.
Yeah.
We hear you. She remembers the names. Something happened 5 years ago. I don't remember what happened last week.
I'm good with names, so that's my spiritual gift.
Something made an impression upon her, right? And then that's why you are associating the names with the event, okay? Now, more specifically, where do you serve in Mosaic House Church and in those ministries? How has the Holy Spirit used your serving to help you grow in your faith?
So now Kevin and I serve on the welcome and greeting team as well as the table fellowship team. We got asked to do it, but it was kind of a no-brainer for us, right? Like, we felt so welcomed and, like, brought in right away that we kind of wanted to give back in that way and do it for others. Kevin and I are not extroverts. We're not, like, naturally drawn to people or, like... Yeah, that's not us, and yet we find that, like, once we started the welcome and greeting team specifically, that was a really excellent way for us to meet people ourselves, like, for us to continue feeling welcomed into the church and, like, to get to know people and put faces to names and build more relationships. So I think... we're a good example of, like, you don't have to be perfect at something in order to do it, and you don't have to think, like, yes, this is exactly who I am, therefore I should serve in that way. We just knew we felt welcomed, so we wanted to help people feel welcome, even if that was a little difficult for us.
I hear you say, even though it was out of our comfort zone, we wanted to, we felt convicted, we wanted to make a difference and grow, edify the church. So you began doing something that you didn't feel all that 100% comfortable with. That's what I heard. So what if, how about this question? What do you do when there are times that you don't, you know, I don't feel like serving, you know, it's not my giftedness, you know, all these obstacles, what do you do?
First of all, we definitely do feel that way. Like, just because we're out there serving doesn't mean we're perfect and we love it 100% of the time and it always feels amazing and we're perfect at it. It's just, if we don't feel like serving, if I feel discouraged or tired or kind of dragging my feet, you just do it anyways. And I think... that has often shown me, like, little bits of encouragement or, like, God moments. There's always something to remind me why we're serving in the first place. I think, I just serve anyways.
Yeah. Is it fair for me to call that a sacrifice or cost?
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. When you serve using your spiritual gifts with your time, talents, and treasure, do you see the connection between what you do as a welcoming greeter or serving on the table fellowship team? Do you see the connection between what you do and the mission of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind particularly is that slogan, the doing life together. I think, but also Mosaic's House, is that the mission and vision? That, like, there's nothing extraordinary about us or about me. Like, we're just doing life together. It's just everyday people coming together, being a part of a community, serving each other, loving each other like Christ. And I think that's what it comes back to for me, of, like, this is not like a lack of self-confidence, but like I'm nobody special. Like I'm just one person in this community doing what I can, serving in a way that I can. And I think, yeah, I think of, I talk a lot about the body of Christ, and we hear over and over, we all need, if it was all an eye, where would the ears be? If it was all a hand, where would the feet be? And it's really easy to tune that out because we hear it a lot. But I think it's true. Like, if we all had the same spiritual gift, if we were all teachers, table fellowship probably wouldn't be served. Or, like, if we were all serving table fellowship, who would be preaching, right? Like, we all just have different special ways. And I think if you think, oh, well, like, my gifting isn't obvious because it's not, like, up at the front. Like, I don't play piano or I don't preach or I'm not good at cooking. Or, like, it's easy to say, like, I am not good at XYZ or I don't do XYZ, therefore I don't belong. But we all have something special and unique about ourselves that can contribute. I think, and sorry, I'm being a little long-winded. I swear I hadn't, like, heard of this before I heard, or, like, it wasn't the sermon that is making me say this. So, like, this is, Victor didn't tell me to say this. But I thought of a phrase that I heard this week. It was in regards to financial giving, but I think it applies to, like, serving with your gifts and time. It's that we're not all called to equal giving, but we're all called to equal sacrifice. Mm. And that sacrifice for one person might look different than sacrifice for another person, but we're all called to sacrifice ourselves and to use our spiritual gifts for the church. Yeah, anyways.
Thank you so much. Would you join me thanking Hannah? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So let's conclude in a moment. In fact, right now, you're going to receive a little action step item here. Okay. In this small, tiny pamphlet, it says, hey, my gifts and talents. I am techie. I'm a people person, I am creative, I'm a task lover, I'm a developer, I am all heart, so forth and so on. So whatever describes you, you check the box, and then below that are the following options. I'm interested in going for a test drive in a ministry somewhere. I'm happy with my current role in the current ministry. I like to change and try something new. Or, you know what? I could do something more. I could do something extra. And lastly, I'm not available at the moment, but please contact me in 3 months. So for now, I'm going to ask you to take this and go over the list. And for the course of, in the time of prayer and the song response, you may check the boxes and then write your name, okay? Lastly, so crawl, action item, application. If you're crawling, go for a test drive in a ministry. If you are walking, invite a new team member to join you. And if you are running, why don't you lead a team? Learn to lead your current ministry, right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for reminding us of your rich grace. Thank you for Holy Spirit, how we ought to respond to that amazing grace. It's all about you, Lord Jesus, and we are here for you. Thank you for transforming us into your servants to edify the church and to join you on your mission. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.